from deep inside your radio.
Hey, it's Standard Time, everybody. It's Standard Time. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wonderful? It's Standard Time. I'm so excited, and it's all fake excitement for your listening pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to say. I've just been sitting here talking with Bob Dunn. I'm in the French Quarter of New Orleans, Louisiana again. And we both have been marveling at the fact that neither of us being baseball fans per se, that is to say, crushingly bored by the game for the vast majority of the year, we each tuned in to what we thought was the pennant race, the championship series and the World Series, and thought we were going to be watching baseball. But if we closed our eyes, it was NASCAR. Did you notice that? Did you watch those games on Fox? Thank God the baseball season's over and the Fox season can begin. But if you watch the games on Fox, every time a video effect, every time they bring up a score, every time they show a replay, it's NASCAR. They weren't content with the that they use in football. That didn't seem, because, you know, baseball's a more leisurely game. There isn't the inherent in football, so you needed a coming by every 3 seconds, as if I'm not paying attention. I'm watching your game already, thank you. You've got my attention. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that the big donors conference took place in Madrid. I don't think you were invited. You were already giving. Don't worry about it. But this is for other countries to possibly donate to the big Iraq Reconstruction Fund. And we're busting our buttons because we got pledges of $13 billion from our friends and allies around the world. And that was the headline. But again, ladies and gentlemen, the lead was buried. Because down in the bowels of the story, you learn what some of the actual pledges. And this is my favorite paragraph from the New York Times story on this subject. Some donors apparently pledged sums that they had already announced and given earlier. Others included import credits, relief assistance, and other items not on the list of reconstruction and security needs for which the conference was called. But my favorite single item on the list, Vietnam is donating to the Iraqi Reconstruction Fund $500,000 worth of rice. So our advice to the Iraqis, learn to like rice. Hello, welcome to the show. Cook it up nice and sticky.
Multicolored microbus plowing over rugged terrain. We're jacking the radio, passing the afternoon train. Around the roses, and she shone as hyacinth and sage. Garden tours, sun lamps, and it's all the rage. Stay low to the ground, or they'll sniff you out. You never know what you will find when you go out of the blackness into the great big sky. Super collider. Thank you.
go with me and see a movie. First you said no, you got some plans for the night. And then you stop, see. With a spooky little girl like you. Always keep it guessing, I never seem to know what you are thinking. And if some fella looks at you, well, it's for sure your little eye will be a winking. Smile and hold my hand. Love is kind of crazy with a spooky little girl like you.
To thank you for having the kind of love that scares me, that scares me.
I'm no Sunday in the sand, no picnic in the park, and I want to thank you for the way you understand when I'm a child lost in the dark, and I want to thank you for having that scares me, that scares me. It scares me.
I love
that that scares me.
And I wasted so much time fighting what I need. And I want to thank you for the kindness in your eyes when you tell you how I feel. And I want to thank you for having the kind of love,
having the kind of love,
having the kind of love.
It's Halloween all year round from the French Quarter of New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm Harry Shearer saying, don't be scared. It's another edition of the show coming your way. These vicissitudes. And maybe it's okay to be scared this particular time of year because, you know, what could be going wrong? U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld reached for a dictionary this week in a bid to take the sting out of his embarrassing leaked memo. You probably know about that memo. It appeared on the front page of USA Today. So I guess it's not that confidential, huh? And some even suggest that Rumsfeld wanted it leaked. One report indicated that most of his confidential memos are signed DR. This one is signed Donald Rumsfeld. In case, you know, anybody thought it was David Ramsey that, you know, signed this one. You know that it's a memo sharply at odds with his public upbeat attitude about the war in Iraq, but it's been defended by his defenders as, well, that's his Socratic approach. And others believe that it's just his way of being the un-McNamara, the guy that doesn't get blamed for 25 years, waiting for 25 years before he said, you know what? We didn't get it. So anyway, he shows up at his briefing on Thursday with a dictionary. The document in question had warned the United States faced a long, hard slog, quotes, in Iraq and Afghanistan. Rumsfeld burst into a regular Pentagon briefing by surprise, armed with what he said was the Oxford Dictionary's preferred definition of the word slog. Slog, to hit or strike hard, to drive with blows, to assail violently, Rumsfeld said. And that's precisely what the U.S. has been doing and intends to continue to do. Unquote. Now, one may wonder whether the adjectives long and hard actually do modify that particular version of the noun. A long, hard hit. A long, hard, hard strike. A long, hard drive with blows. Maybe. I don't know. Asked if that was the definition he intended when he wrote the memo, Rumsfeld grinned and said, quote, it's close enough for government work, unquote. I guess it all depends on what your definition of slog is. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there might be reason to be scared. The Energy Department's design for burying nuclear waste at Yucca Mountain near Las Vegas would cause corrosion that would perforate the waste containers and allow tanks to leak, according to an expert panel that it's fixing to advise the government. Nuclear waste gives off heat as well as radiation. The Energy Department is considering taking advantage of that by spacing the waste containers closely. That would heat the tunnels to nearly 300 degrees in the first few decades, a factor says the government says would keep the metal dry and thus prevent corrosion. But the Nuclear Waste Technical Review Board, a panel created by Congress, believes otherwise, according to a letter that the members have drafted. Members said changes to the letter were possible before it submitted to the department, but the draft circulated this week said two new sets of laboratory tests cast doubt on the extent to which the waste packages will be an effective barrier under the repository conditions that have been presented to the board. Nice verbiage there, boys. Senator Chuck Hagel is strongly criticizing Congress, saying it gave President Bush too much latitude in conducting foreign policy after 9/11. He's a president with latitude. Yes, he blames Congress. Well, you know, it is Congress that voted to approve the Patriot Act and is now saying, you know what, there's a few little things in there we want to just tweak a little bit. And it was Congress that voted for the Iraq War resolution, and all the, of course, the Democrats in the Senate that voted for it are now busily explaining what they really meant by that vote. Well, I was voting for the threat, not for the action. Oh, man. Said Hagel, the great reservoir of pro-American goodwill that has existed in the world since World War II, that reservoir is now down very low. When the security of this nation is threatened, he went on, Congress and the American people give the president great latitude. We probably have given the president more flexibility, more latitude, more range, unquestioned than any president since Franklin Roosevelt. Probably too much. The Congress, in my opinion, really abrogated much of its responsibility. Charles Hagel is a Republican. Is he from Nebraska? Let's ask him. Chuck, you from... Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Thanks, Chuck. Oh, this... If this comes as a surprise to anybody, then the person to whom it comes as a surprise needs a good sound slapping. In a move that's alarming pop art collectors around the globe, the Andy Warhol estate has reclassified as many as 1 in 6 of the pictures previously attributed to him as copies. Babe, they were all copies. Babe. By babe, I mean the Andy Warhol estate. Or... this report in an English newspaper. The sweeping reappraisal is based on a strict new definition of what constitutes an original Warhol. Yeah, I'd like to have been at that meeting. An original Warhol. I got your original Warhol, right? The Andy Warhol Authentication Board, set up by his estate in 1995, says that only the images he was directly involved in producing deserve to be described as his own work. The board's decree leaves thousands of collectors, including many prominent personalities, facing the prospect they've paid small fortunes for works that may soon be judged worthless. The decision to redefine what constitutes a genuine Warhol stems from a revisionist view of the method he used to mass produce his famous images. Many of the thousands of prints churned out by his New York studio, The Factory, wasn't that a clue? Yeah, I'm going to buy an original from The Factory. Were manufactured by assistants working under his supervision. In some cases, his involvement was even more remote than this. Acetates featuring original compositions traveled hundreds of miles to workshops where they were turned into prints by people he had never even met. I think there were documentaries about this at the time. I don't think people can actually... Well, they can claim ignorance. I think claim it and feign it. But, you know... A couple of questions occur this week, ladies and gentlemen, and I propound them here for your consideration. What's the deal with Fox, the Fox News Channel, and the Congressional Black Caucus? Tonight, Sunday, the second of two debates among the Democratic presidential candidates is co-sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus and the Fox News Channel. Now, I know politics makes strange bed, but really, and even more remarkably, they're not punctuating each camera change with, which is remarkable restraint on Fox's part. But still, one wonders, what's the deal there? Who came to whom and said, you know what would be wild? And the other media note I want to make at this juncture is. The foo-foo-roo that is surrounding the upcoming CBS television movie about the Reagans. Now, I don't know if you've been seeing all the yaksters on TV fulminating about this. But, of course, you know, fulmination is what makes the 100,000 people that watch MSNBC tune in. And far be it from me to defend any television movie anytime, anywhere. Don't get me wrong. But many of the bloviators on this subject have been saying, you know, it's the Hollywood liberal media all over again. This is what they do to a conservative. This is what they do to a Republican. And nobody, at least in my earshot, has had the month-long attention span to be able to say, didn't CBS, this very same network, just broadcast an adoring account of President Bush after 9/11 written by a noted Hollywood conservative, Lionel Chetwynd? Didn't that just happen? Nobody says that. Oh, somebody just did. And his name was me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to the theme music that's appropriate for the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to lead off because it's my fault that at the end of last week's broadcast, I did not say these words. The character of Satan was written and created on last week's broadcast by Tom Leopold. All right, now other people. I'm sorry about that, but now other people get to be sorry. Two popular sports radio talk show hosts returned to the air in Boston this week after a two-week suspension. They apologized for comparing an escaped zoo gorilla to minority students, but denied that racism motivated their comments. I never made a racist connection in my mind, which certainly makes me careless, inconsiderate, and clearly out of touch, all of which I plead guilty to on every single count. But it does not make me a racist, said John Dennis, co-host of the Dennis and Callahan Show. Makes you stupid, though. South Korea's opposition Grand National Party You're going to start again? I guess you are. South Korea's opposition Grand National Party has issued a public apology after one of its senior legislators admitted accepting millions of dollars from a business conglomerate in a major political fundraising scandal. The apology followed the admission by Choi Dong-woong that he had received 10 billion won, that's $8.5 million, from the nation's third-largest business conglomerate prior to presidential elections last year. We sincerely apologize to the people for causing concern over the acceptance of the money to which our lawmaker has admitted, said the head of the party. We hope the investigation that's forthcoming will be fair. I think we all hope that. Also in Asia, the Philippine government press undersecretary has apologized for urinating while drunk on President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo's chartered jet last month. UWD. You don't ever want to be doing that. UWD. The Philippine Star Daily said Heraclio Rocky Nazarano relieved himself near the plane's emergency exit, which he apparently mistook for a restroom. Yeah, I know the feeling. Arroyo was on the other side of the plane en route from Manila to Paris. I deeply apologize about all the shattered expectations, Nazarano was quoted as saying in a cell phone text message. How I wish I could deny it, but it was one moment of weakness I'm really sorry about. The problem is the situation went beyond everybody's control. I think there's only one person whose control it went beyond, frankly, but that's me. That's just me. The British Home Secretary, David Blunkett, has apologized for calling the BBC's expose of police racism a stunt, said the television program's revelations more than justified the way they came to light. He said he had made a mistake in criticizing the undercover documentary. That came as the Police Complaints Authority started its investigation into the allegations. Six police officers have so far resigned after the broadcasting of The Secret Policeman, a program in which policemen were seen acting like Boston radio sports show hosts. Blunkett originally criticized the undercover filming methods of the program and said it was trying to create news. Said all that before he'd seen the program. He admitted to the BBC on radio that he'd been wrong to criticize the program. Let me be honest. I always like it when a leader of government starts a colloquy that way. Let me be honest. No. Keep lying to us. We like that so much better. Let me be honest. It was a mistake on my part to call it a stunt. The revelations themselves justify, in this case, the way they came to light. The Greater Manchester and North Wales Police have referred the BBC's allegation about the conduct of their officers to investigation. Organizers of a charity basketball game between Algonquin Lake in the Hill... this is a little local for a national broadcast. Officials at the Ottawa airport have flown into damage control after a visitor noticed that large display maps in the new Ottawa terminal, this is in Canada, reportedly a foreign country, the new display maps in the new terminal have redrawn the United States, putting Atlanta in Alabama and Washington, D.C. next to North Carolina. As Canadians, we've expressed concern about our American visitors when they come here, not knowing anything about our geography. We're now guilty of the same thing, says Dr. This guy quoted. Dr. Schumacher is quoted. Oh, I see. Dr. Albert Schumacher, who complained about the mistake to the Ottawa Airport Authority, said the airport's director of media relations, it's meant to be an artistic representation, to show graphically that we cover a number of destinations. We apologize if anybody is offended that it's not exactly as per a map of the world. It's totally an illustration. So, obviously a kid is running media relations at the Ottawa Airport. It is totally an illustration. It's totally. I mean, it's not reality. There's no reality there. News of the media world, ladies and gentlemen. Television shows may look the same or even better when they appear on DVD, but sometimes they don't sound the same. Studios frequently are replacing the music heard during the original broadcast for the DVD release because of the prohibitive costs associated with licensing the music, studio executives say. Sony will release the second season set of Dawson's Creek in December, featuring new music that replaces the pop tunes from the series. Disney's first season set of Felicity contained new music, and Miami Vice won't be coming to DVD anytime soon because of the difficulty of obtaining the rights to the pop music that crowded the show's soundtrack. Very often, buyers are not advised of the changes. And at the end of the top of the week's news, ladies and gentlemen, before we go behind the bubble or outside the bubble, this, just the saddest news story of the week. It doesn't scare me so much as just sadden me. ABC has killed the Reality Awards 2003. That's right, an award show for reality shows. It was scheduled to air on ABC, but Don Mischer, frequent producer of the Emmys, sent out letters informing reality show producers, hosts, and judges that the show will not be taped as originally scheduled November 23rd. We were surprised that the networks didn't see the value in promoting their own shows, even if it was on ABC, Mischer told Variety. He said the other networks refused to let him use clips of their reality programs for the awards show, and were also discouraging their reality show hosts, judges, and producers from participating. I can't speak for the network, said Mischer, but it's just a very competitive time in television. No. One TV executive told Variety he wasn't sure this new reality television trophy show was even a legitimate award show. There's a guy who's dancing on the head of a pin. I don't think it was a legitimate award show, he said, pointing out, according to Variety, some of the show's categories. He continued, I'm not sure what the value of the promotion is when you're talking about the hottest hot tub scene. That's not the kind of exposure we need. Unquote.
Put on your finest, your feathers and diamonds. No sense holding back, not tonight. The week's been insane, the fools. Pull on your chains, you choose. Meet me down in Birdland.
Ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. British government aid programs aimed at some of the poorest people in the world are going to be emasculated in order to allow the British government to commit $650 million in aid to help build Iraq. This is according to the Independent newspaper, which is opposed to the war. Britain is acting as chief cheerleader for the reconstruction fundraising operation, but finding the promised British contribution without raising taxes or cutting government spending has meant that the overseas aid budget is being used. Tony Blair gave an assurance to British charities in a handwritten note that funds will not be directed from other emergencies, not from programs supporting poor people elsewhere, but the Department for International Development has been told to find up to $150 million by reducing programs in Peru, the Philippines, Bolivia, and South Africa. Send them rice. Let the Vietnamese send them rice. The customary joint press conference, always held when a foreign leader appears with the Australian Prime Minister, was canceled when George W. Bush made his one-day appearance in Australia. On the other hand, when the Chinese Prime Minister addressed Parliament, two opposition members that had protested Bush when he spoke there were prevented from actually even entering Parliament. So there you go. According to records made available by the Washington Post and interviews with arms investigators from the United States, Britain, and Australia, it did not require a comprehensive survey to find the central assertions of the Bush administration's nuclear case made pre-war to be insubstantial or untrue. It is now clear he had no active program to build a nuclear weapon, produce its key materials, or obtain the technology he needed for either. Among the closely held internal judgments of the David K. Iraq Survey Group, Iraq's nuclear weapons scientists did no significant arms-related work after 1991. Facilities with suspicious new construction proved benign, and equipment of potential use to a nuclear program remained under seal or in civilian industrial use. And those aluminum tubes? They are now judged to be innocuous, according to Australian Brigadier General Stephen Meakin, who commands the Joint Captured Enemy Materiel Exploitation Center, the largest of a half dozen units that report to David Kay. I hope that's the unit with the largest name, because if there's an organization with a longer name, we need some more rice from Vietnam just to print up the stationery. They were rockets, said Meakin. The tubes were used for rockets. By the way, we don't know where the tubes are anymore, some of them. Says the dean of Georgetown University School of Foreign Service, if you told me they had access to those tubes and have chosen not to seize and destroy them, it undermines the judgment that these tubes are usable for, if not intended for, nuclear development. Meakin said he no longer knows the whereabouts of the tubes in question. They weren't our highest priority. They're innocuous. They could be in arms plants, scattered around, being grabbed by looters, perhaps in scrap metal yards, ladies and gentlemen. And the National Intelligence Estimate, created in October 2002, the 100-page top-secret document that hurriedly pulled together judgments from across the U.S. intelligence community about the threat posed by Saddam Hussein, was rushed in production only after requests from Democratic senators who were trying to justify their vote. The NIE was hastily done in 3 weeks, one senior intelligence expert now says. It was a cut-and-paste job, with agencies given only 1 day to review the draft final product, when they usually take months Today, they still disagree on the meaning of what came out. It's a rush job, ladies and gentlemen, you see. But there are other fingers being pointed. The Washington Post was the recipient of a leak this week from the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying, chaired by a Republican, saying they're coming out with a report blaming the CIA for faulty intelligence in the pre-war period. That's a leak, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is a leak. But it's a good leak. So the battle lines are being drawn, it would appear. On the one hand, we're still being told by administration officials, the media aren't giving us the bright side, the sunny side, the good news out of Iraq. And on the other hand, you have the Donald Rumsfeld memo and the fingers already being pointed at the CIA. And if that's what's going on above ground, imagine what's going on beneath.
Next, intimate tales of America's first underground vice president. The action-packed diary of the man who's less than a heartbeat away from history. Dick Cheney. Confidential. 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 Confidential.
A certain melancholy seems to be in the air this time of year. Maybe it's the leaves going redder than Condi Rice's lip gloss. Maybe it's the fact that the artificial sunsets inside the secure undisclosed location are coming earlier every day now. Or it could just be what Colin calls tristesse de guerre. Same kind of thing that made Don Rumsfeld write about the dumbest memo composed by a human since Dick Nixon died. In any case, Lynn was doing her best to cheer me up by putting on a scary costume, parading around looking like Gloria Allred. Later, she's going shopping for a Halloween outfit. Me, I had a double-barreled to-do list, and it started with one of my rare surfacings. The only way the good news about Iraq was going to get out was if we got out. So, while the constituent-in-chief was doing Asia on the one-country-a-day plan, I was enlisted in Operation Sunny Outlook, briefing important members of the campaign contribution community. Thursday, 11:45 a.m.
Great speech, Mr. Vice President.
Well, thanks. It wasn't really a speech, just some remarks I've memorized.
Well, it certainly opened my eyes. I had no idea that none of the news media were reporting that that school's toilet now worked. That's outrageous.
Well, now, let's be fair. Fox had it.
Well, on behalf of the Freedom and Liberty Foundation, I certainly appreciate you giving us this heads up. Which is not to say our heads were down to start with, you understand. It's just...
And to be honest, Fox didn't have the item about the traffic lights working again. So even there...
Sir, I know you have a busy schedule. I'm just wondering if there's anything that the members of this foundation can do to help us win the peace.
Well, I'm very glad you asked me that question. It's almost as if you were reading it from a prepared text.
Well, your aide did give me...
But let me put it this way. For reasons that I don't think I have to go into in a friendly gathering like this one. we gotta have all our troops the hell out of Iraq before the gavel drops at our convention, or we can just start up the shredders and go home.
Mm.
Now, the more we can subcontract the work of our military forces to trustworthy organizations in the private sector, the easier that particular task is going to be to accomplish.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Until you realize that we can't just ask employees in the private sector to risk getting killed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me like we do it every day. In the mining sector, in the timber sector. Hell, in the nuclear energy sector, they're probably getting their private parts turned into raisin toast.
Well, people tend to react differently when they might actually get shot at.
Don't want to tell you how to run your conglomerate, although it seems to me that that might be a management problem. What about all those people in the private sector who used to screen airport baggage? I'll bet you right now, after a year of being out of a job, they'd be appropriately appreciative of a relatively high-paying security position in Mosul, in Kirkuk, in Tikrit. Matter of fact, as long as you don't say Baghdad, half those people won't even know we're sending them to Iraq, so...
Sir, you're hurting my arm.
No, sorry. I get a little tense when my cell phone's on vibrate. So, can your country count on you?
Well, when you put it that way, sir...
I always put it that way.
Well, it's hard to say no.
Yeah, isn't it? Funny thing about business schools, they teach everything but ball busting. And it turns out that's the only skill you ever really need. The second half of my bifurcated agenda required perhaps a defter touch. Same busted balls on my way out, but slightly fewer fingerprints on the affected testicles. Chopper down to Houston, Texas, a certain hotel suite which a certain former president still claims as a legal residence. Hey, who am I to judge? I still vote in Wyoming. Thursday, 3:42 p.m.
And this is the wet bar, and we got it stocked with these dairy beverages, which turn out to be like 100 proof. So,
Mr. President, all due respect, but I have seen hotel rooms before. In fact, I've seen this hotel room before. This was your 92 campaign headquarters, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, it was one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought being a moving target was a good idea.
I haven't heard of a better one. Sir, I think what I have to tell you may come as something of a shock, a disappointment, and perhaps a personal rebuke. At least I hope so. Otherwise, the taxpayers have forked out for another wasted chopper flight.
Jeez, Cheney, what are you, paid by the word?
I take your meaning, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. President, the president has authorized me to inform you that the latest phase of the war on terror is, not to put too fine a point on it, a war on the intelligence community. In the same way that Don Rumsfeld is determined to remake the DNA of the Defense Department, we've concluded that the only way to fix the CIA is to break it.
You bought it, you break it?
Something like that.
Mm.
Wow, this tastes like alcoholic Yoo-Hoo.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Vice President, smelling the thick, acrid aroma of filial repudiation here.
Mm-hmm.
Not a new story, really. Son resents father.
Mm-hmm.
Son equals father. Son not satisfied destroys all that father's built, so... Goodbye, New World Order. Goodbye to CIA, unless it prefers wearing a leash to wearing spurs, and...
That's just about the list, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't wanted to talk about this with the kid. He's not happy with what he calls shrink talk, but the company's not his enemy.
Yes, sir. Well, the problem is it's going to have to do. Yeah. It has one great advantage over other potential enemies. We know where this one lives.
I'm sure that Sprout's getting good information from you, from Condi, from Colin.
Well, he's not really encouraged to interact with Secretary Powell in real time.
But you know, Dick, the company isn't exactly helpless in a situation like this. Got some tools. You can out their agents and put out congressional reports blaming the intel. But you know, old man Nixon didn't know diddly about dirty tricks until the company sent Howard Hunt over, if you take that meaning.
Let me clarify something, Mr. President. I didn't come over here to ask your permission. Some of us who care about your legacy just wanted you to not try to jump in and protect your old friends and colleagues. Otherwise, it might not be as easy this time to stay out of the loop.
Boy, Junior sure has learned something about hardball since he sold the Rangers.
And you know, sir, if you wanted to have a word with George Tenet, just... to help him rationalize falling on his sword for the sake of a policy he never liked to begin with, some of us who have your son's ear would be particularly grateful.
You didn't.
Didn't what?
Cut off his ear.
No, sir. We may play hardball, but we don't throw spitters.
Mm.
We save our violence for the guys with mustaches.
Okay, Dick. Message delivered. Mission... got it.
I appreciate that.
So... wouldn't this conclude our business?
Yes, sir. It's just that I have to go back to the secure and disclosed location now, and before I do, I just want to breathe some more real hotel air. Turns out it's particularly easy to admit your own vulnerabilities in front of someone you've just humbled. Life's funny that way. Between Operation Sunny Outlook and Operation Blame the Company, I could finally begin to see the funny side again. And a partial diary for October 23rd. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney. Confidential.
Confidential.
Confidential. Confidential.
The things I should have done. Someday I'll be judged by the race I run.
Well, I got to clean my plate
before we gather to reunion.
There's no time to be wasted.
Oh, someday always comes too soon.
Well, the rich men down on Wall Street made a fortune every day. Oh, he never stopped to think about putting anything away.
Well, come a great depression, he went bust like a balloon.
Now it's too late to worry.
He said
someday always comes too soon. Someday always comes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this edition of Le Show. I leave you to your Halloween festivities, such as they be. And the program will return next week at this same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USEN440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America, via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.415 megahertz, across the vast continental sweep of North America via Sirius satellite radio, and around the globe via the internet on the Le Show World Service at two different locations, www.harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, whenever you want it. And it'd be just like knowing what makes Fox go, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. Fear not. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Playlists for this broadcast are usually available at harryshearer.com. A tip of the Le Show chapeau to Bob Dunn at WWL-TV for making today's broadcast virtually inevitable. Rice from Vietnam. If that ain't the answer to the Tonkin Gulf incident, I don't know what is. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions that originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from New Orleans, Louisiana.